there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello, everyone. Is there anyone out there? Well, after a week like that, I'm very glad if you are, because it was certainly a week to just want to, you know, give the game a pass for a bit. So thank you very much for listening, if you are listening indeed. I'm Tom. I'm here with yet another tentative beer. I was out last night on a Sunday night. As you can probably tell by the hoarse voice, I really do sound like a man this week. I was at Planet FPL Live 4, hosted by FPL Meets, which is a really great event. I'm sure you guys will have, you will know that I listen to James and Serge every week. So seeing them in person was really fantastic, and meeting up with loads of other people. So yeah, really, really good event. We had a really, really good time. As always, with the Meets things, but yes, having a few beers on Sunday and being up for work on Monday really isn't the one. But you know, drinking to forget, drinking to just kind of make this whole game week seem even funnier than it already is, kind of suits the situation. I'm not sure why I opened this beer, to be honest, just force of habit. But hey, here we go. Here we go again, body. Oh, I'm getting too old for this stuff, Sam. You all right?
Yeah, I mean, without the hangover, I think I share your thoughts. I mean, at one point yesterday, during the Sunday matches, I was texting you, I was like, I've got to stop watching because the game week was just such a car crash. I needed to take my mind off of things. But then what I haven't told you is the irony of everything was I went off to a fireworks display, was in the pub next to the fireworks beforehand, and my mates who had sat down before me thought, oh, Sam will of course want to watch the Liverpool-Luton game. So they set me up on a seat that had the direct view of the screen. So I ended up watching it anyway, even though I was trying not to. So that was fun. Although, to be fair, as a non-Darwin owner, I did slightly enjoy that more than the other matches this game week. But yeah, it's been a bit of a manic game week. So we'll go through all of that later on. And we are recording halfway through the Chelsea Spurs game, which I usually mentioned at the end of this intro. But considering how crazy that game has been so far, I think it's worth mentioning we're only halfway through it. We have seen two or three matches worth of drama in that 45 minutes. So do bear with us if information is out of date by the end of the pod, because someone else has gotten sent off or someone else has done something crazy. In the meantime, though, we are who got the assist. I mentioned it last week, but the mini league, if you're looking for it, is now closed. So again, thank you for all of you who joined in. It's a really big mini league this season, so it's going to be very, very competitive at the top come game week 38, and we will reward you with a very nice shiny trophy if you are victorious. On today's pod, we have had a lot of back and forth over what contemplate would be this week. We've kind of settled on having a look at some of our old transfers, what has and hasn't panned out over the last few weeks, and probably something in there around reacting versus projecting. So it's a little bit more of a spurious topic this week, but I think considering how crazy this week's been, having a look back and trying to almost calmly, objectively look back at our decisions over the last few weeks will be really helpful for hopefully us, but also anyone listening as well. And then we're going to, as always, take a look at the bold claims. And there's, again, a lengthy Q&A at the end. So thank you all for your questions. As I mentioned, we're recording on the 6th of November. The fireworks evenings may be over, but it still seems to be happening on the pitch. At the Spurs Stadium. So yeah, fingers crossed we don't miss out on too much more action. But for the time being, I'll hand back over to Tom.
Yes, the first half, as we were saying before we came on, was like watching a car crash, wasn't it? There's like the morbid fascination, almost rubbernecking, you know, when everyone's going really slowly and you think, why? Why is there a hold up? And you kind of slowly sort of inch past like a car, the front that's been sort of smashed off. And you're kind of like, I shouldn't be looking at this, but I am. And everyone else is also looking at it, which is probably why it's all kind of gone on a little bit. Yeah, really fascinating first half. Hopefully we don't miss too much drama. Hopefully it just hunkers down now. With Spurs hoping to get the 1-1. A late Porro goal. Be very nice, but I did not think that's going to happen. That's for sure. Right. God, I suppose we better do scores on the door, shouldn't
I? I suppose we better. Yeah.
So I am on 26. I got Gordon and Bowen goals, which was very nice. On my bench, and I'm not bothered by this one iota because I never would have played them at all, I've got a goal for Archer and also got the assist and free bonus for Kabore. But yeah, there's no chance either of them were getting on the pitch this week. So, I'm not going to be pissed off about that at all. And yeah, one of the all-time poor FPL game weeks, I think. No game around it. I think it's one of those as well that kind of when it started going badly, I wanted to see just how bad it could get, you know. Because I think FPL yesterday, we were all saying, everyone who captained Haaland in there was saying we all expect kind of the justice to be meted out by the universe, Salah to go stratospheric. And it was just summed up the week so well that, you know, the Luton pulling out the draw, fair play to them as well. Like the roof came off the place, to be honest, when Chong scored. Really just, it's basically a soundscape of a picture of a binary code, my teams, just zeros and ones and twos. Okay, a bit of a strange binary there. 21st century. Where two's involved. Really, really interesting week, that's for sure. And, I've got Madison, who's come off just before half-time in the Spurs game. So lots of questions now for me in terms of what happens next. I've got to keep an eye on Haaland. Cash as well came off the 58th minute, I think. Got a knock fairly early on in the second half and kind of soldiered on for a little bit, but got withdrawn. Porro did his ankle and did kind of complete the first half, but don't know what's going on there. And obviously Haaland, but latest information is that he was back in training today and was okay. And so I think that's probably one that we can just kind of shelve this week. But yeah, all-time low, really. 661K I'm down to now. So doubled my rank over the last couple of weeks. And it's one of those as well where I'm kind of thinking, who is scoring points this week? I've got no idea who is getting the points to mean that I'm getting a red arrow, and that's just the wonder of FPL, isn't it? What about you, Sam? Any better?
Nope, no better. 24 points going into today. A doggy is one key difference with your side. You've got Porro. He should have been sent off in the first half. I'm not sure how he wasn't. So I feel kind of fortunate to have only gotten a yellow from that. So no points from him so far. So that's not adding to my score. And Son is still on the pitch. But obviously, with Spurs down to 10 men, I'm not holding out too many high hopes on him improving my score at all. So I'm on live score of 25 points. That could slightly improve in the second half. But like you say, it's an all-time bad game week. I feel like every year we get one of these where it's just everything goes wrong all at once. All of the teams we fancy to do well, all of the players we fancy to do well, all just have an absolute nightmare. The only two exceptions in both of our teams, which we do have in common, are Bowen and Gordon, who ironically were the two players in the midfield and forward lines who I was probably most likely to get rid of in the next couple of weeks going into this week. So they're auditioning for spots in my side over the next few. And anyone who's watching on YouTube will see the fact that, well, both of us, but even more so me with Dan Burn in there, and a doggy's flag luckily will clear, but it's basically fun with flags at the moment. So I think I'll have other issues to deal with, especially that Dan Burn injury, which looks like it's a long-termer.
Yeah, definitely.
What was going to be an easy role in game week 12 and possibly even burning the transfer, ironically, Burn is probably the one that has prevented me from doing that, amongst a few other issues as well. Simakas as well, we should probably mention very quickly. In the nightmare that is this game week, I actually kind of forgot that Simakas didn't even start, which again is really, really poor. He was the most transferred in player in FPL this week, and to come on with, what is it, 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go.
Like that,
Maybe we could have seen it coming with Gomez providing a bit more hype for the aerial threat of Luton, but I think we were both pretty confident he would start even with 90 minutes in midweek. So I wouldn't have done anything differently. Honestly, everyone's having a nightmare. If you're out there and you're on a green arrow, fair play. I don't know how you've done it. You must have Trippier. You must do.
I mean, I am
one or two others.
To compound the badness of this game week, I sold Trippier to buy Tsimikas. So, you know, it's just one of those where you look at it and you just think, oh, FFS. But there's nothing I could have... Oh, obviously, I couldn't have sold. I wouldn't have sold him. But, you know, as I said, we talked about last week, the onward plan was to bring Saka in this week and make the way to make space for that to happen. And I was convinced, to be honest, that we'd score. We had a good recent record at Newcastle. I think I mentioned that last week anyway. And I thought that, you know, that would be at least... I didn't think it would be a high-scoring game, but kind of a 1-1, something like that. So a marginal loss due to a controversial goal, et cetera, and so on and so on. I guess we're sticking the boot in. But hey, as I said, it's just... I find it quite hilarious, really, like how bad a game we can possibly get. It's very nice to see... kind of the far extreme result of how bad a game it can be. I know the guys from Martin Baker from Above Average is on like 11 points or something, 12 points.
Yeah,
but that's an all-timer. I don't think I've kind of had maybe some 20s in my time, but kind of 25, 26, that's pretty low. But yeah, kind of getting to 11, that's like elite territory, elite badness. But that's excellent. Yeah. Anyway, this week then, it's quite a funny one.
Yeah.
Just to talk through quickly. I mean, the real thing, just to kind of focus on before we go into kind of what we're kind of going to talk about, which is just recent decision making, the idea of reacting versus projecting. I think we started to touch on it last week. There's been a bit of a sea change recently in FPL from what was a very uncertain period to now, where it feels like the template has solidified a little bit. But weeks like this are simply pure banter. There's no way around that. Like, you know, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, we've got some weeks where a few players blank, like a few well-owned players blank, and there's kind of a net sort of red for a lot of people, but there's always that one or two that kind of come through. And we've also had the opposite this season, where we've had all of the players scoring, like no matter who, like your entire team's got in double digits, well, your entire midfield's got in double digits, but all of your kind of key rank threats have also gone and got double digits. So it's kind of, you've gone nowhere. But this week has just been absolutely ridiculous. Like the thing that I looked at was the team of the week on Monday morning, this morning, which is just hilarious. I mean, I think there's probably one and a half players in this which are anywhere near anyone's teams. One definitely is Johnson in goal with the 9, but the back five, all with double digit hauls. Toffolo, he of betting fame, Tyrick Mitchell, who I know one person owns, Ola Aina, last seen at Fulham back in 2019, I think it was. Might actually own him for a 9-pointer once. Mikalenko, last seen in draft. Collins, last seen in draft. He was in my team at one point. Jeremy Doku, 22 points for old Doku. Count Doku. I know that, again, back to Above Average. I know Adam from Above Average did sell him this week. But, you know, it's winning the lottery with Van City. It's how it always is every single time. Bernardo, 14. Kudus, who I did buy on draft this week, which is, I'm very happy about that, 11 points. Bruno Fernandes, nice. who's the half, I think he'd be in a few teams potentially. And Archer, maybe there's some people kind of getting an Archer off the bench and you are very, very jam-tastic. But I mean, of all of those names, it is Johnston and potentially Bruno Fernandes and the ultra-patient sort of analytics-y crowd who are probably going to have one of those players. The rest of them, it kind of just sums up the nature of this week. And it kind of just makes you kind of, I guess, appreciate that sometimes you do just get poor game weeks. And the time really now is not really for getting angry about it. I think it's just a case of being kind of a bit detached from it and just kind of laughing at it. I was speaking to quite a few people yesterday about having bad weeks and things like this, because obviously it was a hot topic conversation. How bad has your week been? And it's kind of the ability to have that emotional detachment, like, and making it work for you. It's a very sort of one-sided thing to kind of be like, if it's going really well, you know, I'm really like, I love it. You know, it's making me feel really happy. If it's not going very well, then I shut the door on it. Like, I think I've learned that over the last few years. Like, long-term listeners will know I've had a pretty bad run doing WGTA. and after a while, you kind of just, you know, you stop punching walls like I did early doors. That was when I lost the podcast. It wasn't due to a bad game week, but I used to get so pissed off. But no, I just don't. Yeah, it's just kind of, it's one of those things where you treat it as a game. Like, you really enjoy the game. You kind of have a decent knowledge, and so in my case, kind of quite a deep knowledge of the game, and love talking about it. But you kind of, you put it in its box, and if that box needs to go away for you not to be upset, then put it away, basically. Mm. And yeah, it really has been one of those game weeks where, you know, I really haven't seen that many kind of outpourings of upset, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe Hindu Monkey, but that's irrelevant. He's always upset, that guy. Other than that, like, it's very much one where I think we all kind of accept our fates, don't we, Sam?
Yeah, and I think there's also something to be said for us, not us as in me and you, but the crowd generally playing FPL for so long now that there's a certain level of maturity about these weeks happening. We do bake it into our season. There's at least one of these every year. And I think it's quite reassuring when it happens, not only to you, but to the crowd as well. There's something in that sort of team spirit. We're all in it together a little bit. And you can only really say it's a bad game week, in my view, if you're having a far worse game week than what the average crowd is doing. And the average for this week is so low. The general consensus is we're all having a bit of a nightmare and we're in it together. There are outliers, obviously, on both the negative and the positive side. But one thing I would say about any of you that are having a true shocker, something below 20 points, you're still only losing 10 points on the crowd. That's not that bad, really. You're going to be able to gain that back over a season pretty easily. So honestly, do not worry too much. In a low scoring game week, if you're below the average, it can't be by so much that it's going to really be detrimental to your season. So if you're feeling frustrated at the moment and you're having an even worse week than myself or Tom are, take solace in the fact that if this was an average of 70, and you've got something like 40, you're way worse off then. So yeah, don't worry, we'll all get back to it.
Sam, the dog is just sent off.
Oh no! Of course he has. Of course he has. To be fair, he should have been sent off in the first half.
Yeah.
So
he was walking. It's a very silly second yellow by the looks of it. But I mean, yeah, having that mature view, I mean, you know, just you've got to just laugh these things off now.
You've got to laugh. If I wasn't on a podcast right now, I don't know if I'd be laughing. But I'm trying to find the humor
into my protein shake or something like that, I'm sure. Possibly.
But yeah, Spurs down to 9. I mean, that is, I'm having a certified nightmare of a game week right now as well. And I will need to make transfers next week because of this.
Yeah.
But these weeks happen, and we'll be playing FPL in several seasons down the line as well. And it will feel like a distant memory, and we'll all have a laugh about it eventually. Keyword, eventually. So yeah, feel bad about it. Sure, that's fine. But don't worry. Next game week is only a week away, and we can right our wrongs hopefully fairly soon. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, I promise. And that's from someone who is live on the pod, just lost a player to a red card. So it does get better.
Yes, it's very painful, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, I suppose it's all symptomatic, isn't it, of the point I made just at the beginning, that the template, I think, has solidified quite a lot now. And there are a few players, obviously, kind of on the fringes, you've done okay this week. No, Bumo obviously got only in inverted commas got an assist, but my lord, he could have really, really flipping hauled this week. You've got kind of a few other sort of players who may be kind of in and around the template, like Fernandez, as I mentioned earlier on. And then maybe like kind of a city defender could have been in some people's teams, like kind of Ake and Akanji both scored this week. But yeah, it is one of those where wherever you look, they're players who are not particularly FPL relevant, and that's fine. This is just such an extreme example of what an outcome can be, that it's almost like you don't really learn anything from it. And I think that's fine to accept that FPL is completely random. If it was really predictable, those who are more engaged, I'm sure every year would do better and better, or at least be kind of in the shout of winning the thing. But the element of randomness, variance, as the cool kids call it, is always going to be them. It's just extreme variance. So there you go. Be adult about it. It's just a game. But yeah, I think to kind of link that in then to what we were going to talk about today, it's the idea of just looking back, I suppose, at what we've done recently, or what I've done recently, I think, because you wildcarded a little bit later than me, have had fewer kind of moves to make, whereas I've kind of had a few decisions to make, and kind of think about kind of this idea of projected versus outcome, because I think that recently there has been this sort of notion that you're buying in a player. Every time I've bought in a player, he's just done sod all, basically. Like, you know, it feels like I'm kind of reacting to what's happened in the past. And we kind of started to touch on this in management as well a little bit. And you know, maybe I've been kind of fairly template with the moves I've made. Like, I've been following sort of the most transferred in player or kind of the meta as it shifted. But I think it's interesting to see if we can kind of derive anything from this, divine anything from this. I don't think we're going to go into details and nuts and bolts of the moves and what those points mean and all that sort of thing. It's more of just something for fun, really, just to kind of get our points across. But yeah, I looked at my moves over the last sort of game week 8 to this week. So last 4 weeks. So game week 8, I sold Diaby and Botman. Botman's injured. Diaby, I wanted the Spurs player. Was it Luton Fulham they had? I couldn't afford Madison, so I got in Kulusevski and bought in cash for Botman because Botman was really injured. Rolled it in game week 9. Game week 10, sold Kulusevski for Madison. I sold Son for Martinelli, and I sold Alvarez for Watkins because Watkins was the it player we all wanted. Took a hit that week. Obviously, Son got a 10-pointer, and Alvarez didn't do anything. But yes, it was a bit rubbish if you add the hit in and Madison getting the assist and Watkins blanking against Luton, Martinelli blanking against Sheffield United. And then we get to game week 11 last week. So selling Trippier and buying in Tsimikas. Two of the red line players, Sam, on the wildcards podcast, I was saying, there's two players that are red line. I'm keeping them no matter what. They are Trippier. They are Son. The whole thing's been built around them. And, you know, there's been, I don't know whether it's been a strategic failure. Maybe we'll speak about that in a minute. But it's notable that both times I've sold those players, it's been a big down. I think I'm kind of minus 16 or so down on the transfers that I've made. Like every time. It's one of those that I think is worth just to kind of think about, and hopefully kind of something that kind of reflects outwards. You can think about if you've had a good kind of few weeks, why has it kind of worked out for you? If you've had a not so good few weeks like I have, what's kind of the process been? You were hot on the process a lot last week. I think this is kind of just a continuation perhaps of last week's pod. But you've had fewer moves to make, haven't you?
I have, yeah. So obviously I wildcarded in a week after you, so I wildcarded in game week 8 and then set myself up specifically for 8 and 9, trying to roll the transfer, and then started making my moves, removing Madison, which was a bit of a planned transfer for Saka ahead of game week 10, which was that Sheffield United game for Arsenal. That leveled out, so 6 points for both of them in that game week, so not really gaining or losing anything there. And then the transfer this week was Aguerd out for Tsimikas, which again didn't gain or lose me anything because I believe they both got 1-pointers. I didn't even check what Aguerd got. If he got a yellow card, then he's down to 0. Yeah. But either way, pretty much even on both of those moves, hasn't really gained or lost me any ground. But yeah, I feel like with hindsight, I'd probably make those moves again, other than the fact that, which we wouldn't have known, that Tsimikas was going to get benched this game week, I'd probably still be fairly comfortable with the moves I made there, knowing that I was chasing fixtures and on the Tsimikas one, hopefully an opportunity for a really underpriced Liverpool defender with the good, decent chances of attacking upside and also clean sheet potential in the next few. But yeah, obviously the tectonic plates of FPL shift pretty quickly. And obviously now Saka's not looking at his best, and Tsimikas is now a rotation threat, which maybe, again, like I mentioned earlier, we might have been able to see coming, but yeah.
We both had some suggestions of that, but I think kind of that was kind of 3 game weeks ago when he first came on the scene because of the Robertson injury in the international break. And we both said, we need a little bit of time, see what's going on. Played 60 minutes in the first game, 490. 490 again in midweek, and we were kind of thinking, well, that might just be because of an absence of other options. And we did both kind of float the idea that potentially someone else could play. I know that there's a few other podcasts who said that as well. Some of this, I think, comes from a very long question, come humble brag, from FPL Death Star we were sent this week. And it reads as follows. So my question is about patience and whether or not this week is a good example of overmanagement, thinking about your pod last week. A few weeks ago, people were talking about selling Mbeumo, for example, who I thought was a great example of talisman theory and couldn't understand the selling. He did go 2-1-2-2 between game weeks 5 and 8, but over the last weeks, the last 3 weeks, he's gone 14, 13, 5. I've just left him there. I was tempted to move, in all seriousness, Mitchell. So he's the guy I was talking about earlier, who owned Mitchell, got 15 points this week, to Tsimikas. And obviously, I'm lucky I didn't. I guess the question amongst all of this nonsense is, how much of this is outcome bias and how much of this is a return to trusting our instinct when we make longer-term plays? I didn't transfer because I trusted my wildcard judgment of three rotating 4.5 defenders, of which was Mitchell's turn last week and will be Soufal's turn this week in Nottingham Forest at home. Is this week a bit of a return to the patient managers getting one up in a season which is more often felt like the fast movers got the points, or is it something different? Translation, I think, is I'm a great manager. What the hell are you two doing? I think that that's a really interesting sort of conundrum to talk about, because I think there's definitely this kind of notion of really patient managers potentially being rewarded a little bit this week, like Bruno doing okay. I mean, the kind of the individuals that Defstar mentioned there. People have kept Bumo. I know that we said a couple of weeks ago, sell Bumo because the fixtures aren't really in his favour. FB Ref, the data's off the charts I mentioned last week. So, you know, fair enough if you did keep. And then, you know, the Mitchell example is a bit of a unique one, because I don't think many people actually own and obviously got a golden 15-pointer. But it's still one of those which is kind of worth mentioning as well, because he avoided the Tsimikas compulsion. And I know a lot of people who did sell Trippier for Tsimikas, like I did, or sold like Sapporo or something like that. This kind of conundrum of patience, Sam, is always something that I've kind of wondered about and something I've not been kind of great at. Like last season, I was very much more conservative/cautious, but I think that was because by game week sort of 6-7, I was like nudging the top 5k. So I kind of adapted my play style a little bit, whereas now I feel like I've become, and kind of evidenced by the transfers I've talked through earlier, I feel like I've become a little bit more sort of, I'm not sure whether I say it reactive, but definitely active. I mean, this year, is it about what Defstar was saying, patience? Or have we kind of entered the time frame now where the template has to divide and patience seems to be the way to go?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago as well around the subject of patience. And I think sometimes it's knowing what the decision-making process was for you picking a player in the first place. So Mbeumo is a great example of this. The reasons behind a lot of people picking him were the penalties, the fact that he's now playing up top and was getting 90 minutes. And obviously the underlying data, even without the penalties, was really strong. The fact that he's not returning is obviously a stress test for a lot of managers, and a lot of managers will lose faith, including myself as well. But really looking back, if all of those other factors, the reasons that you picked him in the first place, were still all going for him, then there is something to be said for, okay, well, maybe I just need to stay the course with this pick, because he's doing everything that I thought he would do. He's the FPL player that I'd been promised. He's just not getting the returns at the moment. But returns are noisy. That's whether or not a shot goes inside or outside the post, whether or not the keeper makes a great save, whether or not a penalty is awarded or not awarded. These are noisy aspects of football. But the underlying data, if it's consistently good and everything else around the player that you, the reasons you picked him in the first place are still there, then there is something to be said for patience. I think with Mbeumo, again, as a lead example of this point, that the antithesis of that would be, but if the fixtures aren't there, that's one factor going against him all of a sudden that you may have weighed into your initial decision making. And then if there's another player, a rival around that price point that you think has also got great data, but then also has the fixtures, then you need to weigh up whether or not enough of the factors have changed to make you want to stop being patient with this player, whether or not you've had enough time to see whether or not you're going to get what you need from him. But Mbeumo, I think anyone who's stuck with him obviously has been rewarded, and rightfully so, because he is a player with great underlying data. He's one of the top performers in FPL this season, not just for the actual returns, but for the data. And he's got everything going for him still. So maybe we should have been a bit more patient.
Yeah, he's fourth for non-pen XGI so far this season, third for non-pen XG. Oh, well, except for last week, well, Thomas Frank's done there at Brentford. That really deserves being applauded a lot. I wonder whether our sort of patience horizon has, because at the start of the season, especially kind of the first sort of 6, 7, 8 weeks, it was kind of punctuated by us not really being too sure what the template was, who the players were that we can trust. And that's something that kind of I went into a few weeks ago. And I wonder whether this is sort of the tail of that, where there's still sort of elements of we're not sure who to trust, still making moves, perhaps like Shemir Cass, although we kind of did have a sense of security with kind of 2 weeks and the fixture still being good. So I wouldn't kind of point out that one. But I do look at those sort of moves that I made, and I spoke in kind of detail about the moves last week that I wasn't kind of comfortable with my process. And I wonder whether we are kind of reaching a stage where... we shouldn't be kind of tracking the meta as much as maybe we were early doors, and maybe it's kind of been me being a bit overreactive potentially in the moves that I've made recently. Like I wanted Watkins, and admittedly Alvarez hasn't punished me, but for like that kind of Watkins was kind of the player that I felt like I really couldn't go without. Like I texted you, didn't I, on the day before. Mm. During the West Ham game, I need Watkins. Like it's gotten a bit silly now. Like, I really need him. But then selling Son obviously was a very kind of uncomfortable thing, and I really shouldn't have done that. And then you're looking at this week, where it's kind of like, oh, I'm trying to kind of write that by getting the money from Trippier, so I can afford kind of the next. If I'm projecting forward, the next sort of few it players, I think that will probably be Saka. And now the irony is that that's kind of irrelevant because I could have rolled the transfer and found another way to get to Saka via Madison, who's now injured. But obviously, it's very difficult to foresee that player's going to get injured. Yeah. So it's one of those, isn't it? I mean, from your kind of opinion, I guess, Sam, the Samslation of kind of what I've been saying, I mean, should I go back to this sort of notion of being a bit more cautious, because it really does kind of stick out like a sore thumb, I guess. I know you had a wild card sort of in between, but in the time that you've done two transfers, there's me on six, and it feels like I'm kind of burning through players like swipes on Tinder, almost, or Hinge as it is these days, I'm sure. I don't need it anymore. You know, and it really does feel that way. So maybe it is kind of a case, as Sean was kind of saying earlier on about Death Star was saying earlier on about kind of personalization, patience, and kind of just stabilization being sort of the main sort of way forward, perhaps.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I've seen different managers have success with very different strategies. Some people are much more aggressive with their moves. They'll happily take out players that are performing really well, thinking I'm going to back the fixtures here and try and get ahead of the meta, ahead of the template through doing so. And other managers are more successful by maybe treading a slightly more cautious line. But I think the key here is consistency, as you've hinted at here. I think the fact that you've gone from one strategy to another might be where you're having the issues at the moment, because you're conflicted week on week as to whether or not you should apply different logic to the moves based on what happened or what went wrong last week, because maybe it's a strategy you're not overly comfortable with, as you hinted at last week on the pod. And then you with this week, I think removing Trippier for Tsimikas was about trying to get back ahead, so you've got the money in the bank and you can start looking at moves further down the line, which I think on the whole is a sensible play. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But having done that after doing the almost the Hail Mary the week before, it can leave you in a little bit of a questionable position, because you're doubting which strategy. If you've had two negative outcomes from both, then you're doubting whether either strategy was the right one to go for. And I think just trying to nail down which strategy you want to continue with down this pathway for the rest of the season and applying that logic to all of your moves will be more fruitful going forward, rather than sort of going backwards and forwards, or back and forth rather, on the style of play you want to apply to the season. But whether or not one is correct and one is incorrect, it would be hard for me to say, because I have seen managers be successful both ways. So I wouldn't want to pin one and say this is the way to play this season, because it could easily change, or it could prove after 38 weeks that over the long run average, being more aggressive is the way to have played this season. And we'll only really know that much further into the season. It's rather picking a strategy and just backing yourself with it and knowing that's the way you feel comfortable with playing.
I guess my sort of feeling was that like this year felt a lot more Ponterific than last year. Like last year did feel very much sort of getting in formation early on and kind of tersling your way forward. It felt like there was a lot of sort of non-drastic moves. Like, you know, as I said, there was that week where we were looking at moving a 4.5 million forward around. Whereas this year, it's not quite been that way with the glut of options in midfield, for example, lots of interchangeable parts, things I've referenced multiple times before. And I think it was kind of trying to adjust and my strategy from depending on how I think the season is looking. But maybe something that I kind of didn't really think about too much is that within each season, there are also sort of little kind of pockets of time where the template does become quite solid suddenly, or does then loosen up and you've got that sort of opportunity to attack. And maybe, you know, I did see with buying Watkins, having that sort of Arsenal cover, which Martinelli, which I will be kind of keeping because I think he's been quite good the last couple of games. It's just not really kind of come off because we as a team don't look particularly good, and kind of keeping the Spurs coverage in Madison. There was an idea that kind of in that will pay off over the long term. So it is kind of the patience and consistency that's always there. It's always been a hallmark of how I've played, but that has not been particularly successful. So I think success always seems to have been through playing it in quite a cautious way, which is your hallmark. It's Lucy's hallmark as well. And a lot of the big managers, the best managers, do exactly that. And I think I'm back in kind of chasing mode a little bit. And maybe that's what's kind of influencing my decision making, whereas I kind of almost I want to kind of shoot for the moon, have that one sort of big moment. I've spoken about season of moments so far this season, like having one sort of big moment with someone like buying Kulusevski, who's on my transfers in list, buying a Martinelli, and then kind of scoring sort of a few points on that sort of on the day that I buy him in. Like that probably would be potentially the thing that I'd be kind of aiming for. I think it goes back to maybe kind of stabilization and maybe trying to just kind of wrought out some patience, because at the end of the day I have one great game week, which is always really nice, but it's got to be kind of that idea of sort of long-term investing, basically, like a long-term interest on your sort of capital versus like a trading thing where you're looking to kind of make loads of money on the cryptocurrency markets overnight. Like I think I'm always kind of looking for the latter one, but I want sort of like one game week to go stratospheric. You know, I've got, you know, Uber differentials, dice men, as a Joe from Fan Football Scout would call them. You know, loads of those players all throughout my team, all going well, you know, having a high state sort of thing. But I think, you know, I've got to try to remember that last year was very good because I got the template early and it was kind of just a case of kind of maintaining that. And I suppose a part of my sort of discomfort now is that I'm so far from what I consider to be kind of where the template is, I suppose. I haven't got Saka at the moment, haven't got Son, do have Salah, do have Haaland, have now sold Trippier, so I need to kind of try to figure that out and kind of project, I guess, where everything's going to go going forward. And I think that's a good kind of example of that is probably, you know, the idea of buying Saka from next week. So, you know, over the last couple of game weeks, absolutely bugger all, really. I mean, he's had one shot, and he obviously got a very, very contentious assist last week, but the gamble would be that Burnley, Brentford, Wolves, Luton, the next four are good enough that you kind of be kind of thinking that's going to be a change in fortune for us a little bit. How Saka's being used, a kind of a prime Sane under Pep, you know, sticks to the wing and he's been double marked, so Martinelli can do all the kind of the incisive work. Some of that is sort of also kind of feeding in where I think this has got to, eventually there's got to be kind of a stop to this, and we're going to have to kind of try to, I guess, come up with a more kind of fluid way of playing football. Yeah, the Sheffield United result aside, we've been in the second gear, but I think hopefully kind of next four is going to be the remedy of the situation. I was speaking to James about this last night. So maybe that's going to be where I go. But yeah, I guess that's kind of, yeah, projecting versus reacting is, I guess, where we're at with this, and trying to make sure that you can kind of, I guess, try to think about who's going to be in the next template, which is kind of what we should all be doing all the time. And we shouldn't, I don't know, maybe I've been a bit too keen to just buy in players who maybe are a bit too punty, and I need to kind of keep my powder dry, wait an extra week, which is kind of what it felt like the last kind of few weeks have kind of shown me. I mean, you're very good at waiting the extra week, or, you know, spending your time sort of thinking about it, planning to the nth degree with your lovely spreadsheet, which your other half, I'm sure, wants to throw in the recycle bin, or if it's real, burn. I mean, do you think there's any kind of players, I guess, going forward who could bust through that template, especially after the international break, after game week 12?
Yeah, well, if we're talking game week 12 as well, I think you've got one in your team, and Martinelli is really interesting to me right now. So yeah, I think he could be helping you get back ahead of the template pretty quickly if he has a bit of a flyer against Burnley. Outside of that, I have made a few notes. Eberechi Eze, I really like the look of at 6.1. Palace have got some great fixtures over the next four. And his data is phenomenal. So if you want to back the data without the returns, a bit like Mbeumo over the last few weeks before he started hauling again, Eze could be the next guy. He is on penalties as well, I believe. So yeah, I would really like the look of him. And he's significantly underpriced at the moment for the sort of data he's getting. And he really is the focal point of that team. He's the reason that they tick, and we saw even him coming back off the bench this week, they were a lot more expansive going forward and were able to create a lot more chances. So I really like the look of him. I also really want to consider still, even though they've not been great recently, some of the Brighton assets. The fixtures are still there. The data is still generally pretty good. And I think because of recent poor performances, most people will look away and maybe take their eye off the ball with them. And they're still a good side. They're still going to create chances. And as frustrating as they've been, I still think there's an opportunity there. The man that you've brought in draft this week, Kudus, I like the look of as well. If you can get a run of starts. I think he scored 5 in 7 now. I think it's 5 in 7 starts. I saw a stat on Match of the Day. I might be getting that wrong, so apologies, because I haven't fact-checked that. But it is a significant contribution. And then finally, based on reactive news to the Dan Burn injury, the fact that Botman seems like he might be out for a while and Target is out for the next 2 or 3 months, we could be looking at a cut price Livramento at 4.3. If he can get a run of starts as well, he could be a great route into the Newcastle defence. As a Saints fan, I know how attacking he can be.
He's
even played right wing before in the Chelsea Academy. He's usually really good on the underlying data if given a run of starts. So if he's going to continue starting matches with Dan Burn out and Lewis Hall isn't that much of a competition, he could be really good value for money. He's significantly underpriced at 4.3. It's just the question mark whether or not he will continuously start, or whether Hall will get the odd start over him and they'll try and mix it up a little bit between the two. But yeah, those would be the main ones I'd be looking at right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm probably kind of on the right track. I think I want to get the double Arsenal in, to your point a minute ago, because I think that, I mean, we play Burnley, Wolves, Luton and Brighton, I think it is, in game week 17. Away game against Brentford, we're going to struggle in that. But the other game's Villa away, which we're not, you know, that's going to be an interesting one. I think if we do get out of second gear, we're going to be a team that suddenly people are going to want a piece of. And maybe, especially with what's gone on with Spurs tonight, where the depth is going to be severely tested this week, I'd say. That's going to be kind of the natural sort of progression for a lot of people anyway. So I'm hoping to kind of be there early on. Over Christmas, I think, or at least kind of the end of November, start of December, I think we are going to kind of slowly start to kind of move ourselves around to expected minutes being a lot more important than that's kind of a natural progression that you get throughout this sort of time frame. So you may see some players, I mean, Bruno Fernandes comes to mind immediately, from teams that maybe aren't performing particularly well, but there's kind of that individual brilliance about them, which can mean that you are on for something happening every now and again. I always think back to at the start of the season, where we were kind of looking at, you know, all the players from teams below kind of notional eighth place finish in the Premier League. And we were like, screw them, we have to think about them. And I think now it's what's really interesting is that you can think about them, and you might want to think about them, especially with kind of needing inverted commas, definitely Haaland, definitely Salah, maybe not, we'll see what happens with Son, but almost certainly we'll see kind of Saka gaining a lot of prominence in teams. I asked the guys at Planet FPL about this last night, and Eze, for example, is a player who's come to the mind for a lot of people because he's, even though Palace's fixtures may not be the best, defensively sound, and also a player who could well come through. And I think oddly, there's kind of the resurgence, the Dyche-led resurgence at Everton as well, could be kind of something to kind of bear in mind and keep an eye on, like, so Calvert-Lewin, who we've completely forgotten about, but now he seems to be back fit again. Yes, I think there's definitely more work to be done on that, and that kind of projecting versus reacting. I think something we'll look at, I think, in the national break when we've got a bit of time. Well, that's a bit of a meander through loads of bizarre stuff. And I'm sorry it wasn't kind of as cogent and coherent as usual, but it's one of those where this week felt very sort of like we needed to think about what's happened, how we've got to this point, except this week was a bit rubbish, but both had a bit of a negative experience recently and kind of trying to diagnose it. So hopefully that was useful, and hopefully you can take forward into your own team, your own thinking, in trying to projecting forward what you're going to do. Right, bold claims, Samuel. Last week, you projected Mbeumo to score 10 plus points. I think you were really, really unlucky.
Yeah.
He really...
I thought I was going to get that.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, I really thought that was going to come through for me, especially seeing how West Ham were defending. Didn't look promising at all. But again, another blank. What was your bold claim last week? Was it Martinelli to score?
Yeah, Martinelli to score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't quite happen, but you know, he played very well in the game, I thought. But yeah, didn't quite get there. Okay, as with both Martinelli and Saka at the moment, there's not really the end products. Yes, dodgy assist for Saka against Sheffield United, but it's not really kind of the explosion of end products that we were expecting. And this week, you've gone all in. If you do get this, I'm going to let you have 2 points, even though that will give me a 4-0 down. But I feel like it's already a bit of a losing streak at the moment.
Yeah, well, go hard or go home. It's been a losing streak for the last few weeks, so I've gone big this week. Arsenal, Brighton and Villa to all score 3+ goals in their independent fixtures. They obviously all drop points this week. They've all been flattering to deceive for a little while, or at least in Arsenal's case and Brighton's case, they have. But I think these fixtures are set up, hopefully, for some goals. And yeah, I'm backing all three of them to hopefully get back to winning ways and score 3 each at least. So yeah, if this one comes through, it will be a bit of a trick shot. I might put a couple of quid on it as well, just so I've got more than a bold claim on this one. But yeah, it's a long shot, that's for sure.
Yeah, Brighton, Chef. Yeah, I can see that. Arsenal, Burnley, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Villa, Fulham, interesting.
Villa score a lot of goals at home.
They do indeed. So yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah, fair play.
On to you.
I'm going for Captain Chaos, Darwin, to kind of go the other way this week. The stars are going to align. It's going to score 10 plus points versus stubborn old Brentford. I think that's kind of where I'm going to go with that one.
Honestly, how didn't he score against Luton? I cannot believe it. We'll get onto it.
We need to go into it, I think, now, because Darwin was a player who we were all enjoying watching, enjoying in inverted commas, we didn't own him, like last night. And Dave Glass asked us, what is Darwin's XMS per 90, i.e. expected miss sitters per 90? And yeah, I think that the chance from 3 yards out, I mean, especially because it is Darwin, is one of those that kind of, you know, Yeah. So if XG of 1.32 versus Luton, Sam, 3 big chances missed, 9 shots, 5 in the box, 3 on target, 2 FPL points. I think the owners are going to feel a little bit hard done by. But the counterbalance to that is that if you look at the big chances missed this season for strikers, you've got Darwin on 10, Haaland on 11, and Watkins on 11. And Haaland, he's got 13 goals and assists and goal involvement in about 930 minutes. which is 1.25 G&A per 90. Watkins with 13 as well, in a similar amount of time to Haaland, 1.23. Darwin's plays less minutes, so 506. But again, what we saw last year comes through. So 9 goal involvements during that time, 1.6 goal involvements per 90. And that's wrought out as well on FBref as well. So the highest non-pen XG per 90, the highest non-pen expected goal involvement per 90. Not the highest XG per 90, because you're kind of throwing the penalty takers there. But I mean, it's just a case of the stars aligning, isn't it? I remember there was one of the FPL meets before my daughter came along. I think they were playing you, weren't they? Darwin just kind of out of nowhere just pulled a brace from his behind. That was before the World Cup, wasn't it? Just before the World Cup.
It was, yeah.
And I think that it's one of those where, with Darwin, you kind of... The eye test is really important, yada, yada, yada. He's one of those players that you can't put yourself through the eye test. You don't want to put yourself through the eye test. You shouldn't put yourself through the eye test for loads of reasons. Just, if you do go with him, just love him and leave him. Maybe it's Leighton Baines style, 2012. Never bench, never captain. Just leave him there. And it's like a proper roller coaster. Like every week, you've got a chance of a haul, effectively. Yeah. Just leave him there. Have fun. But at the moment, I think I'm kind of happy with Watkins in there. But I mean, he's always one where if I was in a 3-4-3, I wouldn't let this week put me off, because you've got to be putting yourself in a position to score, haven't you? Really? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's one of the most frustrating players you can own in the game, but he's frustrating because he's getting into those areas. He's getting those chances. And in a team like Liverpool, there's a reason that they're backing him and that they're building the team to create him chances, because they think that he's going to be the one that is going to take them forward moving into the next few seasons. And yeah, I mean, he's already got 9 returns this season, and they are sporadic. They are here and there. So it might be one explosion one week and then an absolute catastrophic failure the next. But overall, over the long run, it will work out. And I do fundamentally think he is a great FPL asset. It's just, like you say, maybe don't watch. And eventually the points will just sort of filter into your team over 5 or 6 weeks. And I think you'd have to be incredibly unlucky if he keeps starting the matches, which at the moment he probably should. Very, very unlucky if over 5 weeks you don't get 1 or 2 pretty decent hauls out of him. Even if he is slightly wasteful at times, he's getting enough there is easily enough there for him to be a good FPL asset, and the data is so strong that as a non-owner, I'm just as scared as the owners are of him blanking. I'm scared of him hauling when I don't have him. So yeah, he's a difficult player to go without and to go with, but overall I'd prefer to probably have him in the position I'm in right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's but one that I'm always going to be perennially behind the sofa for. I'm thankful that his ownership is going to remain low. 16% overall. I don't know what effective ownership this week was, but it's like 13%, something like that. So it's one of those where I'm kind of quite thankful it remains so low. But there's definitely that element of longevity if you did throw him into your team and just kind of left him there. And I think any given week, even if it comes to the bench, and even weak points are going to be on the table. Probably left on the table, to be fair. But they're on the table. And it won't be long before suddenly he's essential, I think. All it will take for him to go on a run, gain some quote-unquote form. I don't know whether you know, he's obviously quite chaotic. So I don't know whether that's going to be sustained. But it's one of those where if he kind of does score in a couple of games, does kind of get his eye in, then suddenly you might all be thinking, well, okay, we need to get this player in. You'll see sort of people like us, 3-5-2, just kind of almost reorganising our team, potentially, if we're kind of border Watkins or whatever. Just getting a doing Darwin's Watkins is one of those where I'm just really glad the ownership's so low. But yeah, very, very scary watching him. So we mentioned that Haaland earlier on, speaking of forwards, and there's been a few questions about that. I think they've been slightly invalidated a little bit. So Pep's at midday. We will show him this afternoon, so I don't know. Yesterday he felt much better. And then Holland was in training today. We'll see what happens against Young Boys midweek. But I suspect he, if he's fit, he'll play against Chelsea. I don't really see that being a question, to be honest.
Yeah.
So sorry, like Morpheus, amongst others, asked us a question about kind of what happens if Holland's injured. I think we can't really touch that right now. Waste everyone's airtime. But there is one sort of tangential to that from FPL Stomach, who asked, with the fixtures being poor for City, so we know the next four, they're not poor, but they're challenging. On paper, it's City, but they're still challenging. Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, Aston Villa. Could you contemplate selling Haaland? And how would you redistribute the cash? I mean, we said this a little while ago, to be honest. But Liverpool, Spurs, and especially now with the injury to Van de Ven and Aston Villa with the high line, as you mentioned beforehand, none of those games worry me in terms of owning Haaland, frankly. And to be honest, in game week, in game week 13, there's a very good chance I captain Haaland against Liverpool, to be honest with you. And then kind of Spurs, Aston Villa, he's always going to be in with a shout there. I know we're probably, especially if you are a no Haaland person and you've benefits from this week. I mean, what a big win that is. 2 points versus four, doubled the output of Haaland. But you know, Captain Salah the last few weeks, you're laughing. But I don't think it's sunk cost to say that those games don't worry us, right, Sam?
No, they don't particularly worry me, especially if Spurs have got injuries and red cards and all of that flying about by game week 14 still. We don't know how bad the Van de Ven injury might be. But yeah, Spurs and Villa certainly don't worry me. Liverpool, again, I'm a bit like you. He could easily be my captain that week because it is a little bit of an iffy week anyway for captaincy. There aren't many options out there. We'll obviously get to that when we get to that after the international break. But yeah, he could easily be my captain that week. So yeah, I've got no qualms about keeping him. If you were to theoretically redistribute the cash, I think it would probably have to go on the aforementioned Darwin and then bump up a midfielder to someone like Bruno on penalties and with good fixtures, and like you said earlier, 90 minute man, and then maybe you get to Trippier again even without the good fixtures at the moment. Newcastle's long-term fixtures are very good. I think they're top of the ticker over the next 10 to 12 game weeks. So the immediate term bad, but longer term much better. So you could look at redistributing that way. But as we've mentioned before, I don't really like doing that without having a wild card to sort of get me out of jail there to get back to him, because I will definitely want him back soon. And I, again, like Tom mentioned, I think the next four fixtures are absolutely fine as well, personally. So I'm definitely going to be holding on to him as long as he's fit. And it does look like he's going to be fit because we saw him in training earlier today.
Yeah, fair play. I think, yeah, you can redistribute, but I think it's kind of the boat has been missed really on Ten Hag now. And you're kind of gearing up to get him back. I think any one of these games with those defences, there's always going to be a chance for Haaland to really go big. Especially a Liverpool game, I think that's going to be a really interesting one. Sticking with the strikers just for a minute, FPL dummy Tom, when do we all pile into Neil Morpay? I assume the answer is immediately. I mean, fair. So, well done to Neil. I think it's very good to see him stop crying actually do a goal. Very, very kind of him to do so. I was out with the Daz Menti tea on Saturday. So yes, this is my third day in a row of drinking. I'm getting too old for this. One of the dads is a massive West Ham fan. And he was saying that like Morpay always seems to score against us no matter what. And then sure enough, he did. Is this going to be the start of an amazing run for Neil Morpay, a Danny Ings style sort of run? I don't know. He's always had the numbers, I think. He's always been sort of an FPL analytics sort of darling in some ways, especially when he was at Brighton. I know he did very well when he was at Brentford the first time round. One to keep in mind, and one that if he does start to score consistently, he's gone from being scared of an open goal to actually scoring a goal, so that's progress. And if he does kind of continue on, like, you've got to be able to basically to just talk about the overall sentiment. You've got to be able to park your sort of inhibitions about a player who's had a kind of a tough 3 years. If he does suddenly become the next Ivan Toney at Brentford, then fair play. You've got, if there are signs that, you know, he's worth buying in, then I'm not going to be kind of saying no. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be beelining to Neil Morpay. That's Brentford reference there for you, Tom. But I mean, he's going to be one that is always going to be on the radar, isn't he? At his very cheap price. But yes, I don't think we're going to be beelining towards him, are we?
No, not just yet. But yeah, what you said is very important. Always be open to players, even with poor track records or players that you might have sworn off in the past. Be open to the situation changing. For the time being, I'm not going to let one goal get me carried away on it. I am assuming that the question was more tongue-in-cheek at this point, which is absolutely fine. But with the fixtures to come, next couple, we can probably leave it, wait, and then if he does seem like a player that's hitting a bit of form, by the time Brentford's fixtures turn good again, we can look at him then. Although one thing I would suggest, if we are going to take the question more seriously, is if we're looking at getting Mbeumo for some good fixtures to come, or if he's in your team anyway, then be careful piling too heavily on Brentford, because they will be blanking in game week 18 alongside the Man City assets. So you could leave yourself in a little bit of a pickle and in need of a free hit if you're not careful and you go a little bit too heavy on that combination of Brentford and Man City going into that week. Having said that, they should have that double game week in game week 20. So it is a viable strategy to free hit in game week 18. Just one for you to kind of keep one eye on if you are going to go down that route.
Yeah, I think Mbeumo is going to be pretty universal, isn't he? Is it game week kind of 14, the Luton home game?
It's around then, yeah. I wasn't confident which week. Yeah,
Luton, Brighton, Sheffield United, Villa. I think we're all pretty much, most people are going to be looking at buying him in for that. And then you kind of manage it, because, I mean, as referenced earlier on in FPL, a stomach's question. I don't know how to what extent we're all piling in. I must admit, like, I'm not really minded nowadays to be one of these sort of long-term planners who's thinking, am I going to be free hitting in game week 18, et cetera, et cetera? Am I going to be buying in on kind of double City around that time? I'm more of a kind of take it as it comes kind of manager these days, because I don't think there's much utility in planning too far ahead, because there's so many unknown unknowns. But yeah, it's one of those that's rewrites points out effectively. Next question, Jeff Pedder asks, Villa assets have Fulham and Bournemouth in the next three, but are flattering to deceive. I feel like Cash and Diaby could both move on soon. That's pending Cash's injury status, of course. What do you guys reckon? And there's obviously a few people who are disgruntled with Watkins who have bought him in recently. Obviously, your bold claim, Sam, is looking at Watkins, three goals for Villa, Watkins not getting any kind of involvement. It's basically my experience of owning Watkins. But I mean, do you think that there's definitely a case there? Because there are those people who were tripled up in Villa for quite a while, doubled up at the very least. But I remember you saying that a while back, you know, around now, and definitely by game week 14, before they jump into Man City and Arsenal at home, they're re-reaching sort of the tail end of those good fixtures. So if you didn't have a more pressing need, which I think most of us are going to do pretty soon, but if you didn't have a more kind of pressing need, I mean, would you be looking at kind of saying, you know what, maybe it's time to kind of look at, you know, Diaby to, I know the fixtures aren't great, but Mbeumo or something like that?
Yeah, I would. I think more importantly, from a defensive point of view, Villa's fixtures will be running out pretty soon. They'll have Spurs in a couple of weeks, and then, like you say, it's Man City, Arsenal. Not too many of them I'd be scared of owning Watkins for. He is a player that I always like backing against anyone. He seems to pop up with a goal even in the bigger games. Diaby, we don't really have that sort of history with, and there are a lot of good alternatives with good fixtures around that sort of jumping off point that you could swap to quite easily for Diaby. So I'd have no hesitation in removing him around then, especially because the underlying data hasn't been fantastic for him in comparison to some of the other assets around that price point who would be coming into good fixtures. Cash, I think it looks like it was just a precautionary sub off this week, so I think you can probably hold for the next three, but after that it's probably a sell. But if he is injured this week, then I think you could probably just bring that forward and have a look at doing that now. Watkins is the only one that I'd say we can probably hold if we have to. And if there are no fires elsewhere, then we can maybe look at moving him on too. But I feel like he's a player that could punish you if you do get rid of, especially in the next with the next three. But yeah, Man City and Arsenal after that, you could definitely get away with having a look elsewhere if there are strikers coming into good fixtures then. But for the time being, I'm happy enough owning Watkins still, I think. And
cash, Diaby, lots of other kind of, but maybe not for cash. It doesn't feel like the defence is kind of chock a lot of options now. But for Diaby, certainly, it's not that far to get to a Bowen, is it? I know that West Ham have been kind of flattened to the sieve as well, but still very good options at West Ham. Bowen and Kudus, like, that could be one where you'd have more sort of levity potentially to just kind of think, you know what, actually, I'm going to go for it and just kind of chase that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if people are still tracking how far into the Spurs game we are, but Tom has just informed me that it's finished 4-1. And I think it's Jackson hat-trick.
Jackson
hat-trick and a doggy minus four. So yeah, it's been a good week. What a great week. And what a great time to be podding live.
There's loads of people who don't realise that if a player does get sent off, it doesn't mean that they get capped. So if they're a defender, they don't get capped. So if they keep conceding, the negatives keep coming.
As a Southampton fan, I'm sadly acutely aware of that. From the 9-0
and Jack Stevens, I think in the 9-0, did you?
No, I didn't own them, but I know that Ben Rep, after getting sent off one season, got like a -7 or a -8 or something because he got an own goal as well. There was some weird combination that happened with the defender who got sent off in the either the Leicester game or the Man United game, one of the two. So yeah, a doggy -4, not great.
I've ever seen you, I think.
Pardon, what was that?
Yes, I've ever seen you.
Yeah, well, what can I say? What can I say?
What can I say?
You're getting
your running shoes and going around the block, aren't you, after this?
Yeah, I might have to in the pitch black. Yeah, I'll find somewhere dimly lit to go sit in a corner and reassess my life and why I play FPL in the first place.
It's not very nice, is it? It's horrible. And we've all been in that situation at some point. Yeah, I don't get upset about it. I think it's one of things you just laugh at because it's been so bad anyway. But it's kind of like, I'm sure someone put out a tweet, like, what could happen for this to become the worst game week in FPL history?
Yeah, but what idiot would tempt fate like that?
Oh, dear. Anyway, final question this week to move us on the transfers and captains so Sam can go off on his run / fight in the dark room for a bit and just scream straight to the angry dome. Jimmy the Claret, who should be our third Arsenal attacker to own this week against Burnley this week? I think for those people, it's probably second or third. But I think I mentioned earlier on about concerns about Saka. For example, not at the races, XGI-wise, being very wide, etc., etc. But those next four fixtures have the opportunity to be transformative for Arsenal and their FPL fortunes and Premier League fortunes. Obviously, not terrible, but difficult loss against a close rival for top four this week. So you're in Saka, and is Nketiah, for example, on the menu for you?
Probably not on the menu for me just because I've got, by the looks of it, issues elsewhere that I need to deal with. But if I had the option to get to him, I would be considering him. He's very well priced. He should continue to start for the time being. And we know that Burnley play a very open brand of football, leave gaps centrally and relatively high press. So Nketiah could definitely benefit from that. Martinelli's the other guy that I'd expect to do really well off the back of that kind of system. So all three of those, I'd be more than happy to own this game week. In terms of other attackers, there aren't really any that stand out for me. Ødegaard, we don't really know fitness-wise at the moment. I think he missed the squad altogether over the weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't he? So
yeah, I think that was one of those where, like, if I'd known that Ødegaard wasn't going to be fit enough to even travel, then I wouldn't have sold Trippier, basically. But yeah, there's nothing you could do about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, again, might just set us on a little bit of a pathway to which Arsenal assets we're open to considering. But without Ødegaard in the side, maybe they are a little bit hampered and maybe they're not such priorities after all. But yeah, I'm happy enough sat on Saka. I think he's still a good buy this week. I don't think there's any reason that he shouldn't do well against Burnley, that Arsenal should have more than enough about them. Same goes for Nketiah, same goes for Martinelli. And I'd expect all three of them to hopefully start and have a pretty decent chance of getting a decent enough haul against Burnley. So yeah, those three would be the three I'd target right now.
Yeah, I think so. The only one that I'd maybe throw into the mix is Ben White.
Interesting.
I think he's now up to, I'm pretty sure I saw he was like 5.7 the other day. I was thinking, who is buying this guy? But one of those who could weigh in with an assist, with fixtures being quite beneficial. And if we don't get out of second gear and they are low scoring weeks, that you could be looking at kind of double digit haul. For him, through one assist, 11, 12 points every now and again, because he is the extra man a lot of the time for us. So on the other side as well, you've potentially got a Tomiyasu thing going on, but I think Zinchenko and him are going to be kind of fighting for that sort of role. I think Ben White could be one who's a bit of a luxury sort of pick if you kind of either got massive team value or you have sort of no Haaland and you're redistributing funds and you think, I'll punt on her. On a higher price defender. I think he could be one who's really interesting to kind of pick up. As interesting as his hairstyle, which seems to be a tribute to Blink-182. I think you're right with those players there. It really is sort of one of those potentially kind of touching on our kind of contemplate point about projection more than kind of what we've seen recently, especially kind of really recently. I was quite glad, I suppose, because I'm planning to bring in Saka and double up on Arsenal, that the Newcastle game maybe would have kind of stopped a lot of sort of more fair weather managers from bringing in Arsenal assets. That's one of those, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, transfers and captains this week, I think probably need to kind of expand a little bit, because obviously we need to get a bit of news kind of here, there and everywhere. But it is one where there's a lot to think about for everyone now. I think if you've not been impacted by a doggy getting a red card, you've not been impacted by a Maddening injury, you don't have the flags, which on Haaland feels like a bit superfluous, but definitely on cash, and you haven't got sort of issues elsewhere, then I feel very sort of jealous, because it does kind of feel like a bit of an easy role, because the fixtures are really good on paper for loads of teams this week. For me, I do have the cash flag. I do have the Haaland flag. I'm fairly sure we're going to see Madison get flagged, and I think they're the early game on Saturday as well, Spurs, aren't they? I need to double check that. I think so, yeah. It's the early game. I was looking at potentially moving Bowen for Saka, and now obviously it looks like I'd do Maddison for Saka if he is out for a little bit, and it looked like it was kind of bad enough that he is going to miss. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back after international break, so no need to be hanging around there bringing Saka for Maddison, and I've got 1.6 million to play with. And I don't know, am I going to take a hit there? Well, turn on fitness everywhere else, I think. That's kind of where I'm going, getting a double up. I was looking for moving Bowen out. Obviously, he did score. Still does look like the guy, if something does happen at West Ham, the talisman of that team. But kudos for maybe kind of affecting that going forward. But I think that he is still kind of the one that I want to own, especially with the fixtures still looking really good. So Mazen being injured, oddly, is kind of a nice enabler for keeping him. And then have money in the bank, so I actually have flex for once, which I will need next week, or game week 13 after international break, because Tsimikas is away at Man City, and as we've referenced, is now a rotation threat anyway. So that 1.6 million can then kind of help me out with Kabore or Taylor then moving up to somebody else, so I've got a bit of bench security potentially, although Kabore scored 8 this week and Taylor scored last week. So, you know, it is what it is. It always is what it is. I think they've got kind of okay fixtures, those two. I think kind of being able to kind of feel like I've got something in mind for the future, and maybe, oddly, although I've sold Son and didn't like it, and maybe kind of the injuries to Spurs is going to be a real test for them of their depth. Now going forward, and without Maddison as a central conduit, maybe we might see a little bit of difference there. Maybe an openness to selling Son fairly soon as well. So yeah, we're going to see how it goes on all of those things. Given my OR 6.61, I am open to using the captaincy to buy a lottery ticket in that Burnley game against, and I'll have Saka and Martinelli, and I would not say no to captaining Saka or Martinelli in that game. Probably Saka, because I can be fairly sure gets through midweek. Is it Champions League this week? Yeah, is it? I can be fairly sure that that's, we're all good. He's going to play that game. I'd be really, really tempted to do that. I know that Salah's going to be the one with the high EO, so maybe that's kind of the safety pick. But it feels like with the where I am, so 600k, it's not awful. But I still kind of look at it and think, yeah, if that does come off, like Saka scores a brace in that game, and Salah's doesn't quite match it. And there's always narrative that Brentford are very kind of gnarly to play against. We're known that 3-5-2. I mean, I'm open to it. I hope I may even do it. I'd be really interested in doing that. But that's kind of where I am. I think Maddison to Saka, if he is cropped. I don't really see him playing against Wolves. I haven't got a bench at all. So it would have to be him for just kind of practical reasons. I think that's where I am at the moment. And obviously hoping that Shimakas plays, because I've got Kabore away against Man United and Taylor away against Arsenal on the bench to come in if Shimakas doesn't play. But go on, which probably is kind of fine. If Cash is injured, God knows, I'll think about it a bit more. Maybe.
Yeah.
My Ben White props. Hey, there we go. Interesting week for me. You've got a really interesting week now, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got more fun with flags now because a doggy will be suspended too. So switching over to my team, so in defence is where all of my issues really lie, to be honest. Cash, who I'm really hoping isn't a proper problem, because if he is, then I've got some serious issues. Simicass, again, needs to be starting against Brentford for me to probably put out a full back line at all this week. But then Byrne, we know, is out. Fundamentally, we know that to be true. So he's a transfer out. And Adoghi is going to be suspended for this game week as well. And then the fifth defender is Taylor. I don't really want to be playing Taylor. So I think going into this pod, I was thinking it's going to be Byrne to Lascelles. Just cover off the Newcastle spot. I probably would have started Lascelles away at Bournemouth anyway over either Simicass or Adoghi, but I wasn't really sure which. Obviously, Adoghi being suspended would make that really simple if I was confident that Simicass does start and I can just start Cash, Simicass and Lascelles at the back and hope that they all start, that Cash and Simicass are both fine. After that, though, in the middle, Bowen, Gordon, Son, Salah, Saka, I'm happy enough to just leave it as that. And up front, Haaland, again, pretty sure that flag gets wiped and he plays. And then Watkins as the other striker. So this could go one of two ways for me. It could end up being that I need to use both of my free transfers and sort something out in the defence just to cover the bases and make sure I've got a full back line. But if I'm trying to be maximum Sam, as you like to call me sometimes, I'm going to try be ultra cautious. I think just moving Lascelles in for Byrne gives me that little bit of money. I'll roll the second transfer ideally. And then game week 13, obviously after the international break, we could need those two transfers even more. And hopefully that would then give me a playing back three for this week, all things willing. So yeah, I'll have to check the news and monitor how Cash goes through the week. We'll get some news because we'll have hopefully two press conferences from Emery before the deadline, with Europa or European competition included as well. And Simicass is probably the dice roll that I just hope that he starts. But yeah, outside of that, if I'm trying to be as calm and objective as possible, it's an okay side for next week. It's just that defence I just need to make sure I tighten up on.
I mean, I feel like there's going to be hits flying around now. If you get to kind of the end of the week and things are looking a bit like, you know what, there's players out, we can kind of move it all on. I mean, are you open to hit this week?
I don't think I need to. Well, obviously things can change. People could, like, can be injured. Maybe Haaland's injury is worse than we think, and the training shots are AI generated fakes to throw Chelsea off the scent. Who knows? But I, at the moment, I don't think I need a hit. I've got two free transfers, so worst case scenario, I can move Burn and Udogie out, and then I've got a back three, and I'm happy with the front seven. So I don't think I need it, but I'll have to have a look. I'm open to it in the sense that I think that hits will be flying, like you say. I don't think I'll lose much ground by doing it, but I need to see a move out there that gives me significant upside for me to want to take that hit at this point. And I'm not really seeing it at this moment in time, but again, you could probably tempt me with something and show me a maneuver I could make for three moves that would solve all my problems.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, we'll see how we develop when we get towards the end of the week. But yeah, I mean, that was one hell of a week.
Yeah, so, that might be my lowest game week score ever. I think I'm 22 points after the 22. Minus four.
Nick Wants of this parish has ended the week on 17 minus four.
Wow.
He had Areola, Saliba, Shimikas, Cash, Diaby, Saka, Salah, Madison, Watkins, Alvarez, and Haaland captain. So net 13. I've never seen anything like it. It's one of those horror stories we're all going to move on from, and we're all going to be very happy to put this week into touch, effectively. That's your lot, basically, and we're all off to go and forget all of this.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it has been a game week to remember for all the wrong reasons for most of us, but hopefully in a few years we'll all look back at it, remember game week 11 in 2023, and think, you know what, at least it can't be as bad as that. So we can all have a laugh about it in seasons to come. Hopefully we've helped guide you through what was quite a tumultuous week, and you've had a good laugh at my expense for things getting worse during the live recording. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. We were Who Got the Assist. As always, you can follow us on X at WGTA_FPL. Or if you want to follow my woes, you can follow me at FPL Pricey. And on Instagram and Threads, we're WGTA.FPL. And again, I'm just FPL Pricey on there. If you did enjoy the pod, we'd really appreciate it if you could follow us on those socials, but also give the pod a 5-star rating if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you do listen. Or if you're watching on YouTube, then please do remember to leave a like and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out on any future content.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, Sam. Off to forget about FPL. I will be on Friday at Always Cheating's London meetup at Belushi's in London Bridge. Yes, another night of drinking. I need 4 days of exercise, healthy eating, all those sorts of things. I'm really looking forward to seeing Josh and Brandon in person after, I think the last time I saw them was pre-pandemic, so it's been quite a long time. We hope you enjoyed the pod. If indeed you've listened to it this far, we hope we insisted you feel better about FPL a little bit, and we'll speak to you next week. Take care.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist? Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Podcast Network.